Stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour. This is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour.
I'm all right now.
Read what you have so far, Johnson.
My name is Nora Talbert. Exactly 5 months ago, I was employed by Marion Dunning, well-known play producer and widow of the late philanthropist Wilcox Dunning. I was to act as... That's where she broke down, sir.
Is that correct so far, Miss Talbert?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Whenever you're ready to continue.
I was to act as a confidential secretary, to live at the Dunning estate and primarily read play manuscripts for Mrs. Dunning. I liked my job because, well, I liked Marion Dunning. She was very easy to get along with, very considerate.
I hope you find your room comfortable, Nora. Just tell Tompkins, the butler, if there's anything you want.
Pleasant, easy to get along with, considerate. She made me feel more a personal friend than just an employee.
Now look here, young lady. Stop working so late. A pretty girl like you ought to be out nights enjoying herself.
I like Mrs. Dunning. I really was very happy there until Wallace Streber came into the picture.
Nora, I want you to meet Wallace Streber. He's been kind enough to let me read his new play.
And produce it. I assure you the pleasure's all mine, Nora.
I disliked him on sight. He was always talking about money.
Yes, Nora, I've always wanted the golden Midas touch. And soon I hope I'm going to have it.
He was always talking about his play.
It won't be long, Nora. I can see the blazing lights on the Broadway marquees. Talk to Death by Wallace Streber, The Rage of New York.
Always talking about money. Always talking about his play. Yes, even always making advances toward me. And Mrs. Dunning was too infatuated with him to notice. I was far from surprised the day Mrs. Dunning told me she and Streber were going to be married. He had mentioned to me several times that it would be a good idea. And Wallace Streber wasn't one to abandon a good idea. He was the kind of man who would stop at nothing.
I, Wallace Streber, take this woman to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold in sickness and in health until death do us part.
I could see the smirk on his face as he repeated the marriage oath. And each word he said etched my hatred for him deeper and deeper. Then 5 minutes later at the reception party...
Nora! How about a kiss for the groom?
I'm sorry, Mr. Streber, I'm busy.
Oh, now don't pull away. At a wedding, it's unfriendly not to kiss the groom. You don't want to be unfriendly, Nora, do you?
I have to see Tompkins about Mrs. Streber's baggage.
It's just about time you paid some attention to Mr. Streber. You're working for me now, too. Doesn't the idea please?
As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Streber, I'm only your wife's secretary.
Oh, come now. I think we should understand each other a little better.
I understood him perfectly. He was out for money, the Dunning pocketbook. He was out for fame, his play on Broadway. He was out for all he could get, and Marion Dunning was the only way he could get it. One night, shortly after they returned from their honeymoon trip, we were having dinner.
Well, I know I've been talking about it for the last month. I know you don't like the play, but marry an angel to be an angel.
Oh, he's incorrigible, isn't he, Nora?
Well, let's face it. The only way to get my play on Broadway is for you to back it. Why should we let $40,000 stand in the way of my happiness? After all, if my own wife hasn't confidence in...
I do have confidence in you, Wallace, you know that. But I don't have confidence in your play. Talk to death is too...
It's implausible.
Yes, Nora, it's implausible.
Oh, so Nora's read the play too, has she?
Nora reads every play before I produce it. She has excellent judgment. Tell Wallace what you told me about his play, dear.
Well, I...
Go on, Nora.
Well...
Go on, Nora.
Well, the play's illogical. A man talking a woman into suicide because of a wager, it's an incredible situation.
Go on.
Well, that's all.
I see. I suppose you agree with that, Marion?
Nora's absolutely right. A man could never talk a woman into suicide in real life, Wallace. It's silly. Why don't you try writing something else, darling? I'd love to read anything else you wrote.
That's enough.
Wallace? Well, Wallace, what's the matter? What? Wallace!
I soon came to learn that it was dangerous to cross swords with Wallace Streber. The very next night, Mr. Streber sent for me.
You'll find Mr. Streber in the library, Miss Nora.
All right, Tompkins, I'll be there in a little while.
But Mr. Streber said you should come at once, Miss.
Oh?
Begging your pardon, Miss, but I'd watch my step if I were you. He seemed to be quite put out about something.
Oh, thank you, Tompkins. You wanted to see me, Mr. Streber?
Yes. Please come in, Nora. I do hope you'll forgive my actions last night. I'm afraid I lost my temper. But your criticism of my play seems more like a personal insult.
My criticisms of plays are always objective, Mr. Streber. I'm sorry that you...
I understand.
I was only doing my job.
I understand perfectly. Nora, things could be very pleasant around here for you if you were a bit more... more cooperative.
Is that all you wanted, sir?
No. Sit down, though. Cigarette?
I don't smoke.
Nora, my wife has a very high regard for your opinion.
Yes?
Nora, how would you like to make some money, a lot of money?
What do you mean?
I mean that I'd make it worth your while if you'd convince Mrs. Streber to back my play.
Sorry, Mr. Streber, not interested.
I see. Nora, I said before that things could be very pleasant here for you. I say now that things can also be very unpleasant. That's all. Good night.
He tried every way to make things unpleasant. He tried everything to turn Mrs. Streber against me. First...
That story Nora's writing, Marion. Did you ever read Walton's Night Ride? I'd say certain sections were copied verbatim.
He accused me of plagiarizing a story I was writing, but that was only a start.
But I tell you, Marion, she was paid to recommend that play to you.
He accused me of accepting a bribe to recommend someone's play to Mrs. Strieber. He even accused me of stealing it.
Marion, my wallet's missing. I left it on the library desk, and Nora's the only one who's been in there since last night.
But Miss Nora, Mr. Strieber's wallet was in his bureau drawer. It was there all the time.
I thought as much, Tompkins. He'd say anything to get me into trouble.
I'm terribly sorry, Miss. I told Mrs. Strieber.
Thank you anyway, Tompkins, but I'm afraid it won't make much difference. He tried everything to get rid of me, but I stayed. Mrs. Strieber wanted me to, but I could feel the difference in her manner toward me. Not so considerate, not so pleasant, not so easy to get along with now. But I stayed. I stayed to find out why Strieber was so anxious to get me out of the way.
Marion.
Just a minute, dear. I have to get this letter off tonight.
Marion.
Oh, what is it, Wallace?
After all I've told you, Nora's still around, I see.
I know. I wanted to speak to her, but... Well, you just can't accuse people of things like that without any proof.
My word should be proof enough.
Well, I'll talk to her tomorrow, Wallace.
Tomorrow. Everything tomorrow. Why do you always keep putting things off? And you keep putting me off about my play.
A play? Wallace, must we talk about that again?
I'm getting a little tired of talking about it myself, Marion. Are you going to produce it or not?
I told you, Wallace. It's impossible to get away with anything like that on Broadway. A man talking a woman into suicide. Well, the critics would laugh at it.
Laugh at it, eh? So that's what you think of me.
Oh, we've been over this so many times, Wallace. Your play is just incredible, that's all.
I'll show you how incredible it is.
Wallace, please.
What if I prove that a man can talk a woman into suicide? I tell you, I can prove it. Why, I could talk even you into suicide within 48 hours.
Oh, Wallace.
Well, if you're so sure it can't be done, why don't you take me up on it?
But it's too ridiculous.
Yes? I'll bet you $40,000 I can do it.
Wallace.
Don't worry, I won't let you go through with it.
And if you can't make me?
If I can't, I'll never mention my play again.
Well, it's almost worth it at that. But if I'm talked into suicide, how can I pay you $40,000?
Just put it in writing, that's all. I, Marion Strieber, hereby declare in the event of my...
In the event of my suicide, within 48 hours, that I bequeath the sum of $40,000 to my husband, Wallace Strieber.
What?
Have you got that, Nora?
Mr. Strieber?
Oh, it isn't as bad as it sounds, Nora. Wallace is just trying to prove that his play has possibilities.
But Mr. Strieber...
I think it's very clever of Wallace. Of course, he's not serious about it. But you see, even if he can persuade me to think about suicide, then he's proved his point. His play isn't so incredible as we say it is.
But you can't possibly go through with it. The whole thing's fantastic.
I think I'm a better judge of that than you are, Nora.
Mr. Strieber, you must call this off. You must. Don't you see? Don't you understand? That's why he was trying to get me out of the way. That's why he told you all those things about me. Oh, it's all so clear now.
I don't know what you're talking about, Nora.
Your husband wanted me out of the way so he could murder you for your money.
Nora!
I know it. It's true. Something awful is going to happen. I could feel it the minute he walked into this house. I know.
Nora Wallace was right. You can pack your things and leave in the morning. Good night.
I was terrified. I knew Marion Strieber was going to be murdered, and I was powerless to save her.
Strieber married the wealthy play producer Marion Dunning. Nora Talbert was much distressed. Nora was secretary to the new Mrs. Strieber, and she felt certain that Strieber's affections extended only so far as the fat Dunning purse. Having married Marion, Wallace Strieber began vainly trying to get his wife to back his play, dealing with a man talking a woman into suicide. Nora and Mrs. Strieber thought the plot ridiculous and implausible. Strieber, infuriated, bet his wife $40,000 that he could talk her into suicide, and within 48 hours, having tried, meanwhile, everything to get Nora out of the way. Nora wouldn't leave, because she was sure some disaster would come of the suicide note that Marion Strieber jokingly had dictated to her, setting forth the terms of the wager. When Nora told her employer of her fear that Wallace Strieber planned to murder Marion after tricking her into writing the note, Marion ordered her to leave the house in the morning. Now, Nora lies in her bed, terrified of what this strange and violent night might bring.
During the night, I could see a gleam of light streaming through their window, and it seemed to be moving back and forth, back and forth. I thought my imagination was playing tricks when I heard an eerie, monotonous voice that sounded like Wallace Strieber's. I put on my robe and quietly went down to the end of the corridor near their room. I listened. It wasn't my imagination. The voice was Wallace Strieber's, eerie, monotonous, saying over and over again,
"You're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill yourself."
And the walls seemed to be echoing.
"You're going to kill yourself.
Whispering.
You're going to kill yourself."
The wind moaned it louder and louder and faster and faster.
"You're going to kill yourself. Kill, kill, kill."
I found the body of Marion Strieber in her bedroom, a bullet hole through her heart. Then later...
Through her heart, Inspector?
That's right, Mr. Strieber. The coroner just gave me his report a few minutes ago. The bullet went right through her heart, causing instant death.
Poor Marion.
I'm sorry to have to ask you questions at a time like this, Mr. Strieber, but...
Of course, Inspector. Anything.
There were no fingerprints on the gun except those of your wife. However, there's a question of a letter. Miss Talbot said Mrs. Strieber dictated it to her last evening. Correct, Miss Talbot?
That's right, Inspector.
Do you recognize this letter, Mr. Strieber? "I, Marion Strieber, hereby declare in the event of my suicide, within 48 hours, that I bequeath the sum of $40,000 to my husband."
Of course I recognize it, Inspector, but it was just a joke, a banter wager. Surely you can't think that this...
A rather odd sort of joke, Mr. Strieber.
Well, let me explain. Marion wouldn't produce my play. She thought the idea behind it inconceivable, a man talking a woman into suicide. So I made a wager with her. I thought by infiltrating Marion's mind with the lines of the play, she'd get to like it and produce it. It's the truth, I swear.
But not the whole truth, Inspector.
I never thought she'd really do it, I tell you. It was a joke. I just read the play to her, that's all.
Inspector, Mrs. Strieber wouldn't commit suicide. She wasn't the kind of a person who would commit suicide.
Inspector, I think I'm qualified to know my wife's mental attitude and character better than her secretary.
She was a sane, strong-minded person. I tell you, she wouldn't kill herself.
Marion was depressed lately. She seemed to be brooding about something. She was morose and unhappy.
That's not true.
What are you trying to do, Nora? Pin this on me? Incidentally, I noticed your bags were packed. Perhaps to make a quick getaway? Were you perhaps leaving the scene of the crime?
I was going to leave this morning, Inspector. Mrs. Strieber asked me to because we had a disagreement about that wager. I told her something disastrous would come of it. I was right.
However, Miss Talbot, there is no additional evidence to prove the fact that Mrs. Strieber was killed by anyone but herself.
Then there won't be an inquest?
I'm so upset by this whole thing, I just can't believe...
There's no need to bother you anymore, Mr. Strieber, or you, Miss Talbot. There will be no inquest. I am entering the verdict as suicide.
The case was closed. The verdict was suicide, and I left Dunning Mansion. But as the days passed, I knew no peace. The shot I heard that fatal night tormented me, and the voices and the peculiar circumstances which surrounded Mrs. Strieber's suicide. I knew there must be some way, some clue, something I could find that would prove to the police that Mrs. Strieber was murdered. So one night, about 3 weeks later, I decided to return to Dunning Mansion to look for additional evidence.
Oh, Miss Nora. Well, good evening.
Good evening, Tompkins.
Mr. Streeper isn't in, miss.
I left some of my things here, Tompkins. I thought
certainly, Miss Nora. Come right in. Hi, it's nice to see you again.
Thank you, Tompkins. How is everything?
Oh, it's quite different without Mrs. Streeper here. It was very sad, Miss Nora.
Yes, it was. Very.
She was a fine lady. And very fond of you, miss. If ever I can do anything for you...
That's very kind of you, Tompkins. I'd better get my things. I guess they're still upstairs.
Yes.
Oh, you don't have to bother, Tompkins. I know the way.
Of course, miss.
I went straight upstairs to Streeper's room. I opened the door and walked in. I felt that somehow, here in this room, I'd find the answer to the questions that were in my mind. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I determined to uncover every possibility. I looked everywhere, but I found nothing. I was about to leave when I noticed an old book partially hidden in the magazine rack. It was a very old volume of plays, with a bookmark at a certain page. I opened it there, and the title of the play was Talk to Death. The same as Streeper's. I thumbed through the pages. There was the suicide plot, the wager, even the letter. I, Evelyn Forbes, declare in the event of my suicide within 48 hours that I bequeath the sum of $40,000 to my husband. It was exactly the same as Streeper's play, word for word, only this had been written more than 30 years ago. The pieces of the puzzle clicked neatly together. I finally found the answer to the riddle of Marion Dunning's murder.
Well, Nora?
Wallace Streeper.
Yes. Wallace Streeper. Is it too presumptuous of me if I ask what you're doing here?
I just came up to read your play.
I see. You went through my things quite thoroughly.
I thought...
You thought you'd look around. And you found the book.
Yes. You plagiarized admirably, Mr. Streeper. Better than anyone I know.
Since you're so very much interested in my play...
Your play? You mean the play you copied word for word.
Too much knowledge can be very dangerous, Nora.
Also very helpful. Like finding out that you never intended to have a play produced at all. You copied this only as an excuse for murder. A frame-up to get your wife to write a suicide note... So you could murder her and get away with $40,000.
Sit down, Nora. Since you're so interested in my play, we're going to read it together.
No, I'm leaving.
Nora, I said sit down. There. That's better. Now we'll run through the big scene. Go ahead, Nora. You start from here.
Why are you trying to mesmerize me into suicide? I've been half out of my mind.
Go ahead, Nora.
Half out of my mind since I agreed to act as your guinea pig.
Evelyn, darling. You were trying to help me accomplish something that no psychiatrist has ever done before in medical history. To prove that a man can have enough influence over a woman to persuade her to kill herself.
Let's drop the whole thing, Roger.
Look, dearest, we'll end the joke right now. You write out a suicide note as a topper, and we'll all have a laugh about it. Here. Here's a pen and some paper. Now, write this. I have decided to kill myself. Life no longer holds any meaning for me.
No longer holds any meaning for me.
Now, sign.
Evelyn. There. That's over.
Yes. It is over.
That's not the next line, Mr. Streeper.
No. The next line is... I'm going to have to kill you.
I'm going to have to kill you, Nora.
And then...
Easy, Miss Talbot, easy. It's all right. You don't have to say any more. I can finish it from there, Johnson.
Yes, Inspector.
Miss Talbot screamed. A shot rang out. But this time it was the killer who was killed. Tompkins, the butler, having overheard the conversation, telephoned in time for this office to apprehend Wallace Strieber and close the case.
Inspector,
It's all right, Miss Talbot. Everything's all right. Wallace Strieber is dead. He's committed his last murder.